AgBio Science is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
I say it often, the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet, not just because it's part of who I am, it's who we are. And it's the absolute outcome that we're trying to get to.
Welcome to AgBio Science, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to AgBio Science. Another month is behind us here with Kayla Chittister to look back on everything in AgBio Science from April 2024. Absolutely incredible. Lots of miles, lots of discussions, and lots of wins from the month gone by.
Yeah, you've been a little bit of everywhere, quite literally.
I have. Two continents, couple cities, lots of meeting rooms, and gallons of coffee.
Gallons?
Gallons. Or liters would be the appropriate way to frame the consumption of coffee. Spent some time in Brazil with Governor Eric Holcomb as part of, I believe, the first ever for the Holcomb administration, Ag Bioscience focused trade mission. Spent time in Brazil and then on to Mexico. I'll tell you, Kayla, it was an extraordinary experience, and one that I know you and I have spent time looking at, thinking about, but we're in this era where I believe Ag Bioscience is taking a far more front and center view of economic growth here, certainly in Indiana. Earlier this year, we saw Governor Eric Holcomb in his final State of the State address. The first 4 minutes of his final State of the State address talking about Indiana and agricultural innovation, talking about Indiana being a top 10 ag state and this role of biotech. Fast forward a couple months, less than a quarter later, and we're with him in Brazil. And it was just, I'd never been to South America, beautiful area, beautiful country, and really interested partners, not just from a how do we recruit companies from Brazil and how do companies in Indiana do business in Brazil, but how do we work together to achieve the opportunity that is Ag Bioscience?
Started in Brazil, really meeting with a lot of different companies and innovators, right? And then on to Mexico. Kind of feels like you guys really saw through the whole value chain on this trip.
We did. Yeah, it was really interesting. So in Brazil, we started out early on. I got there a little late, delayed a little bit, but joined and spent time first with some big companies, and not just ag bioscience companies. We met with executives from other Indiana headquartered companies. What was really fun to start with is to see the challenges and opportunities of big companies as they look at this broader food and ag bioscience economy. And these we talk a lot about allied industries and sort of careers, but allied industries in terms of economic growth. You look at a company like Cummins. Cummins has a big operation in Brazil. Cummins, an Indiana headquartered company. But you begin to see, okay, well, Cummins has a huge opportunity to think through the powertrains for production agriculture and what roles are there, but also as an intake of ag products. So thinking ethanol, biodiesel, et cetera. And so it was really from a, how do you broaden, how do you make this tent bigger? A lot of fun discussions. Had a lot of number of conversations that first day. And then the second, to spend time with really interesting scale-up companies, maybe a couple dozen from Brazil. Our friend Daniel Pedreo, who used to be with Soliftech, an Indiana-headquartered ag tech company with origins down in Brazil. He helped us. He's now with Bayer. He helped us set up a number of conversations with startups and scale-ups. It was electric.
Obviously had a lot of conversations in the very short amount of time you guys were there. What were some of the biggest takeaways from those?
Yeah, I think in Brazil, from those scale-up companies specifically, one, there are a lot of people, a lot of innovators focused on the challenges of production agriculture. And the challenges at its most abstract level are similar around the world. Now, there are discrete pieces, and I know we'll get lots of comments down in the comment section that it's different. It is. It's a tropical environment, Brazil. On average, farms are larger in Brazil. It's a different environment, but commodity pricing pressures, similar. Challenges in terms of resistance and pests, while different, similar macro challenges. And just how do we unlock the power of innovation? We talk a lot about artificial intelligence and digital and machine learning, and everybody wants to talk about it. in terms of people who are raising venture capital. I feel like there's a market premium when you can use AI and machine learning in your pitch. But just how do all these technologies come together, not just to come together to make a really cool company, but to solve a really unique problem for farmers and those in the value chain? One of the things we did in that conversation with those startups in Brazil was the guidance for them. And this was a lot of fun, was, hey, when you give the 2-minute overview of your company, start with a problem you're solving. And while that seems like a very simple direction, it was so energizing because you understood the context of the company in which they were trying to create and scale, instead of, hey, we're a this company with a whole bunch of marketing jargon. It was, hey, this is the problem we care about. This is the problem we're trying to solve. Here's how we're solving it. And here's our company. Almost backwards of what we normally hear.
Could we just make it an unspoken rule that all pitches operate like that?
I think it's only right. And then we moved up to Mexico, and that was more of a commodity focused discussion. You know, there's a lot of discussions around trade between Mexico and the US, what giant trading partner with the US. And we were joined by Indiana Corn Marketing Council, a number of other leaders across the ag bioscience economy. In fact, Monday's podcast was with Courtney Kingery.
Yep.
I'll put a link to it down in the show notes. Courtney Kingery, the CEO of Indiana Corn Marketing Council, Indiana Soybean Alliance, Indiana Corn Growers Association. I think we got all of the organizations she's in charge of as part of that. But great to see from her perspective where there's opportunity and where ultimately, you know, if you look at the market that we're in, we had Scott Irwin on from University of Illinois a couple weeks ago now.
Yeah.
And he talked about futures and the challenges of today's current commodity markets. And, you know, he didn't have a lot of optimism near term. Now, optimism long term for sure, but fair to summarize, he thinks we're in a downturn for ag commodity prices. And so, you know, one of the ways in which we collectively as a community, ag bioscience community, with production agriculture being a part of it, is how do we find new markets and how do we create new opportunities for farmers to sell the products that they're growing? And so going on trade missions like this, kudos again to Governor Eric Holcomb, Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb, to our partners at the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, who it's amazing how much they stitched together in a really short period of time while we were on the ground in both countries. But that was the idea, is how do we make sure that these markets understand, you know, the connection opportunity that's here, and how do we drive cross-border trade opportunity that drives the economies of both countries?
Indiana on a global stage, you got to love it.
Indiana on a global stage indeed, and gained more headlines in April on a global stage with our partners, our friends at Liberation Labs.
$10 million, new fundraise.
$10 million raised. Mark Warner, the CEO of Liberation Labs, and it's a reminder for those that may have heard the name but don't know the company directly, this is a contract precision fermentation facility over by Richmond, so the far east side of central Indiana. Really great company. Mark, this again, the CEO of Liberation Labs, used to be the chief scientist of Impossible. And what I love so much about this story is, you know, Mark said, hey, all of these challenges with these alternative protein companies, not just human food companies, but alternative protein companies, even for animal feed, there's got to be a better way. Most of these companies are venture backed. Putting venture capital to work in CapEx is a really tough equation to make. And so Mark said, why don't we take a page from the pharmaceutical playbook, build a contract, in essence, a contract manufacturing organization, built around precision fermentation, looked all across the country, located it here in Indiana, largely because of workforce, Indiana, the most manufacturing intensive state in the country. But I think also a connection to farms, production of corn sugar, dextrose, in which they use the fermenters. Great stories to raise $10 million. I think the total now that Mark and the team at Liberation Labs has raised now total is over $33 million. I got a chance to catch up with Mark yesterday and saw pictures of the plant over in Richmond. It's coming.
Yeah.
They're out of the ground. It's vertical. It is exciting. I think he's looking at, Mark, if you're listening, feel free to let us know if I'm off here. I think they're looking at a Q4, Q1 sort of completion.
Oh, so it's moving quick.
Yeah. And again, directionally, Mark, apologies if I messed that up, but if you look at this 18 months from now, we should see a completed facility.
It might feel really silly to say this, but whenever we talk about Liberation Labs, and I feel like we talk about them a lot,
we do.
Always talk about the factors of why they chose, whether it's like geographic,
yeah,
proximity to farms. What we really haven't, I think, looked forward on is this bioeconomy potential.
Totally.
And like, that's a huge factor too, right? And I think it's unspoken, it's implied, but it's also really important. And we found that out this week, just how important it is.
We did. You know, it's a great point, Kayla. We look at this bioeconomy, bioproducts, industrial biotech. We could put a whole bunch of different names, pronouns on top of this. But it really is how do we use agricultural products as feedstocks into something else? And there is an organization, we talked about them, I think, last month, BioMade, a nonprofit Department of Defense Institute out of Minnesota, shortlisted Indiana for one of their biomanufacturing facilities, really a pilot scale facility, kind of a gap, as we learned from our BioMade friends, a gap that exists between, and this is, I am not a scientist, as you well know, so this is like the Duplo block version, but from flask to commercialization, like there's a gap that exists in these bioproducts. And so what the Department of Defense said and created in creation of BioMade is we got to create the infrastructure. We have to find a way to create this infrastructure. They funded BioMade. Now BioMade is going all across the country to say, how do we locate these facilities? How do we really solve this challenge of going from early scale innovation to actually getting something out of the ground and moving it down the field? It was incredible. The team that came together yesterday to meet with BioMade, really a cross-section of Indiana's advanced economies. We saw food companies and ag companies, animal health companies, plant science companies. We saw human health companies. We saw government. We saw academia all come together, one, to learn from BioMade of what do they actually need to get done, but two, for us to show this is really important to us. You know, we look at Indiana's ag bioscience economy, we talk about it often, a $58 billion economy in our state. This is really important. And I think what we shared with the team at BioMade was, one, we care. Two, we want this here. And we got to do everything we can to outmaneuver our competition. So we will see that. We will make that move. Really a great project and a great team. We met with Dr. Melanie Tomchek on the podcast. I think she's
coming up
soon. A fun conversation, wildly smart lady. Their whole team was just brilliant.
Yeah, also not a scientist. And from that conversation, to just put a little teaser in there, we talk about potential, but also the creativity that comes with this scientific discipline. It's crazy to think about all of the potential outcomes that could come from biomanufacturing.
I mean, you look at what's just happened here in Indiana. So we talk about Mark Warner and Liberation Labs. He located this precision fermentation facility in Indiana. Ultimately, we'll make kind of contract make food and other products for consumption, whether it be by animals or people. We talk about AgroRenew, a really cool company down
Very
in
cool.
Southwest Indiana, turning watermelon rinds into plastics. This bioinnovation economy is huge. We've been doing some work with a research partner, forthcoming work. We'll see it here maybe early Q3 in market, where they looked objectively at Indiana's economy, Indiana's ag bioscience economy, and identified three big areas of focus. For me, it was a surprise that it was this big, but I think we're going to see the bioeconomy, bioproducts, bioinnovation being a real focus of market opportunity where Indiana can gain market share over and above its competition.
Yeah, it feels like an opportunity that's just bubbling beneath the surface right now and has only just begun, which is really exciting.
It is. And I think we are well positioned to lead that next chapter.
Optimism wins, Fraser.
Indeed. Indeed.
So speaking of winning.
Yes, we have two winners. We have two winners of the Soybean Innovation Challenge.
Yeah.
Incredible young people. So late March?
Yeah, it was like the end of March.
Late March, I think the news finally sort of came out early April, so we're going to lump it into this April recap. The Soybean Innovation Challenge, an annual innovation challenge ran by the Indiana Corn Marketing Council, Indiana Soybean Alliance, Courtney Kingery, we talked about earlier. This organization, every year at Purdue University, identifies opportunities for young innovators to find new uses for soybeans. And we saw a number of teams this year involved. elated, grateful for the opportunity to go join on stage the winners from last year and from this year. And this year's story, as a dad, I know you as a mom, would have loved to have this solution not that long ago.
Could you imagine a soy-based baby wipe? Very happy to be exiting that.
Yes, yeah,
life.
That chapter has closed.
But boy, if we could go back, it'd be great to have.
Indeed, indeed. So the company's name is Soy Silk. And this is a super fun story. So Kyle Hahn, Ben Gottlieb, two Purdue University students. And if I remember right, Kyle was the guy who had an internship last year with a paper company that actually made baby wipes, like traditional baby wipes. And he heads into this innovation challenge, didn't grow up around soybeans, didn't know much about soybeans. He's like, gosh, I feel like there's a way here. He meets up with this dude, Ben Gottlieb, another student, a business student, if I remember correctly. And Ben's like, yeah, I'm in, let's figure this out. And so these two guys, and this isn't just a, hey, let's put this together. I mean, there is research behind this. There is all kinds of work that happens behind this. Ben and Kyle come up with a soy-based baby wipe. Again, the company's name is Soy Silk. I am really optimistic about what could happen here.
Well, and they are already thinking about its scalability, its ability to translate into other products like makeup remover wipes,
right,
cleaning products, things like that. And I think the baby wipe product, they said it's 143% thicker than the average ones on the market.
It would have been a huge help. Would have been a huge help.
Indeed.
What I love about, and I don't know if you heard this story. So Ben, again, a business student at Purdue, I was talking with him before the event. So Ben just, I mean, both really great guys. Ben has hustle. What I love about Ben. So
Moxie.
Moxie, hustle. How did you get involved in this? And what's your journey to entrepreneurship? I think he may be a sophomore or junior. So he's not a senior. And he was telling me about in his, gosh, I think he was 12 or 15. I mean, he was a young man when fidget spinners were a big deal.
Yeah.
He created a company to make fidget spinners and 3D printed them and added a bunch of margin and sold them to his buddies. And that was his first entrance to business. And so for all those parents out there, to all those students out there, creating opportunities like this to get that spark, to get that ignition of, oh, this is entrepreneurship, and adding margin's a good thing, and actually selling something for a profit is really interesting. Ben has that fire.
Yeah, I think what was really unique about them, you talked with them on stage after they won, they were exiting, speaking of their moxie, re-entered the stage after the discussion had concluded to let people know they were still looking for internships. So if there are any business leaders out there that want to give these two young men an opportunity,
that's right.
Are still looking for one, I believe.
I think that's
unless
right.
Unless they got swept up since the competition.
And we would love to connect you to Kyle Hahn and Ben Gottlieb. They're just two really great young men, really great leaders. Will be fun to see their careers grow post-Purdue. We also have another big winner in April of Hunger Tech.
We sure did. At the Mira Awards on Friday night, we announced the winner, Scott Massey and Ivan Ball, founders of Anu, won the Hunger Tech Innovation Challenge.
Hunger Tech is a passion project for Agrinovis, a passion project, I know, for you and I personally. So we created Hunger Tech back in 2022 amidst the pandemic, and was sort of coming out of the pandemic, where we did some research with Purdue University, Ernst & Young. And in that research, the researchers, the authors of the report, identified that in the future, food security will be driven more by connectivity than proximity, meaning that digital will play a greater role. Being able to connect supply and demand through smartphones and other devices will be more critical than a corner grocery store. And it just had all of us thinking about how do we solve this? How do we create these connections? Indiana is blessed with great partners. I mean, just great corporate partners. Are now partners at Anthem, now Elevance, was Anthem then, now Elevance, second largest health insurer in the country, links arms with us on this idea. Let's be really clear. Early on, I was like, hey, we think that we can create the conditions for people to solve this problem through innovation. They said yes. And so they came alongside us. They've been alongside us every step of this journey. Scott Massey has figured out a way to actually begin to do this. And that is, how do you take production and move it close to consumption? for him, it's produce, right? How do we grow produce at the point of consumption year round in a place like Indiana that has, you know, pretty substantial swings? You can't grow leafy greens in January outside in Indiana. He's figured out a way to do it. I really admire what Scott has built and the opportunity that's ahead for him to solve problems with innovation and enable people to actually have access to food.
Yeah, sort of that seed pod, Nespresso subscription model for produce.
Yeah, it's a great way to frame it.
It's really interesting to think about. It's not food security, it is nutrition security,
yes,
which is even a step above, which is fantastic.
I'm so glad you described it. I get so excited talking about who Scott is and what he's done. Like, this is, Scott, I'm sorry. I know this is not the way you want this position, but describe it to people, right? Think of a wine fridge where you can grow produce, right? And now he has different scales of them for communal living, like in an apartment complex. So there's lots of different approaches. But for those that are listening, imagine, if you will, that everything that your Keurig or your Nespresso makes possible with coffee, he's doing something very similar with produce. And I think the piece of Hunger Tech that is always so energizing to me is this isn't just philanthropy. You know, how do you actually create a business that generates net income that actually solves a problem and serves a purpose? Those do not have to be mutually exclusive. And Scott's well on his way to being able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. $25,000 to accelerate commercialization of his solution, which he's already on his way to doing. It's just a notch of wind in his sails. And he was also named to the Forbes 30 Under 30 last month as well. So a lot of momentum for a new, and I'm really excited we're a part of it.
Scott has undoubtedly built tremendous momentum with Scott the brand, with Anu the brand, lots of great things happening. And we have a lot of great things happening coming up this summer.
Yeah, we do. One thing about Scott, we talked with him last year on this podcast.
Yes.
And so he talked a lot about his time at Purdue and being a student and finding that entrepreneurial route there. And so to students, we say, get started with us early. It's a lot of fun. So we have our Field Atlas company tours coming up in May and June. If you go to the Agrinovis homepage at agrinovisindiana.com, you can see the details. But a really unique opportunity for students in college that are over the age of 18 to join us for an overnight, a networking dinner with industry professionals. We take you to companies. You get to see what they are doing, what it is like to work there. We want you to get the full experience before we send you home. Registration is open for that.
Registration on agrinovisindiana.com, right?
Yep.
And for those that are hearing this, whether you're a mom, a dad, a mentor, a teacher, even if you're a student, yes, we want you to go do this. But I want you to know, I think this is really important. You don't have to be an ag. You don't have to be an agronomy major. You don't have to be a plant biology major, finance majors, marketing majors, data science majors, software engineering majors. The idea of these Field Atlas company tours is to give you perspective into the opportunities that exist in this company. It's why we created Field Atlas at the parent level to say, hey, look, this economy here in Indiana, I have to hit this. So here in Indiana, 155,000 direct employees of the ag bioscience economy, truly spanning every component of vocation, from technical to managerial to leadership to science, all across that spectrum. And when you begin to look at this and do the math, again, not only am I not a scientist, I'm not an economist, but the way that economists look at this is direct, indirect, and induced when they look at economies. When you look at the total number of employees that are connected to this ag bioscience economy here in the state, it's over 320,000. That's roughly 10% of the state's workforce. So if you are even contemplating a career move, a new career, and you're in college and you think, gosh, I'm still trying to sort out what I want to do, what I want to be, what am I called to do? Well, this is the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet, and we want you to be a part of it. Go to agrinovisindiana.com, look for the Field Atlas company tours link, and sign up. We'd love to see you.
It's 9:40 a.m., and that's the first time I've heard you say that today.
You know, it is part of the fabric of my being at this point, Kayla Chittister. It's so true. We were talking with Gary Dick, mm-hmm, from Inside Indiana Business, Indianapolis Business Journal. just yesterday, and talking about this idea that, you know, so often, and again, as a former John Deere dealer, I think everything revolves around green and yellow tractors. But so often, I think that's the image that people think of when they think of ag or ag bioscience. They're like, ah, tractors, super important. The absolute cornerstone of the ag bioscience economy is production agriculture. We're seeing that in the fields right now as you crisscross the state of Indiana, all across the Midwest, you're seeing it. But it's but one component of this broader economy. Having this connection to food, like at the end of all of this, whether you're in plant science or animal health or food or ag tech or agriculture, at the end of it, what we're all trying to do is make sure there's enough nutritious food at the end of this. That's what this economy is really focused on. And so I say it often, the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet, not just because it's part of who I am, it's who we are. And it's the absolute outcome that we're trying to get to.
Absolutely. So we hope you'll join us. And if you are a business leader that has a summer intern and you want to give them extra professional development opportunities, this is a really turnkey way for you to not have to do anything and to provide that to them.
Absolutely.
Sign them up. We put them up overnight and we take good care of them. It's a lot of fun.
We do take good care of them. You and your team do an awesome job. Awesome job in making that happen. And we will be back again next Monday with our regular Ag Bioscience podcast. And every month, at the end of every month, we'll look back on the news that shaped the Ag Bioscience economy. We just did it for April 2024. Kayla Chittister, it is an absolute delight to be able to do this each and every week with you. Thanks for looking back on April with us.
Hey, absolutely. My pleasure as well. And next month, we will be bringing in some maybe sound effects with race cars because it's Indiana and it's the month of May, which is one of the most exciting times of year around here.
It is. I was going to say electric, but I don't think you can say electric.
It's definitely not.
It's not electric. Energetic. I feel like there's a horsepower reference I should make, but I don't know what it is.
Fast and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's okay. For all of you that have listened, thank you for tuning into Ag Bioscience. And if you would, please take the time to rate, review, subscribe, all those things. You know how to do them. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier.
Saying thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana. Hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.